Scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubt rise in your minds? Look at my hand and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bone. As you see, I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalm." Then he opened his mind so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, as they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Andy, for praying. Thank you, Mercy, for reading. And let's pray that God will speak to us through these words. Lord, we thank you for these words. The men coming back from Emmaus exclaimed, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" And Lord, we pray now as we open up this scripture that you would fill us with your spirit and burn our hearts with your presence and with your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you can keep the Bibles open to Luke chapter 24, and I think the printouts are there for you as part of the bulletin. This is a cover story in 2016, Times Magazine. And in this story, a Cornell researcher said, if you want to create an environment to churn out really angsty people, we've done it. If we want to churn out angsty people, we've done it. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, this generation, Gen Z, grew up with all the reason to be anxious about the world. That they grew up with the rise of the cable TV, 24/7, reporting all the things that are wrong with the world. They grew up with the economic uncertainties and the climate change and the climate catastrophe that it is. It's been reported since their birth, and there are reports of sex, racism, and all of that. On top of that, there was also the COVID. But what makes this generation especially different is the internet. That they grew up with the internet from birth, and they find their life, online life, and the real life indistinguishable. Which means, actually, they don't just have friends from school, 5 to 10 friends or whatever, and they have the whole world that they need to worry about. Some have hundreds of people to please, some have thousands, and some ask why I don't have any more friends than I have. The relentless pressure to self-promote, to become somebody in this world, sometimes is just too much. And this article proclaims them the anxious generation. Well, 2,000 years ago, to a group of stressed, anxious, people who were uncertain what was coming, Jesus appeared. Jesus greeted them, verse 36. peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace that dissolves worries of this life. Peace like a river that never ends. It's peace that sustains them through all the ups and downs, even in the face of death. Peace be with you. And how did he give that peace? Well, he gave them by reassuring them that he really died, but that he is really risen again. That he's not God who is dead, who can't face the troubles of this life. He has defeated death and he is alive. And not only that, he opens up the scriptures, the Bible, and he speaks to them through it, reassuring us that we can also meet God through the words of the scripture. And these disciples were transformed. They became assured worshipers who went to the ends of the world with good news. So resurrection assurance, scriptures assurance, and the assured worshipers. We don't have to imagine too hard of why the disciples would have been so anxious. I mean, think about them. They were following Jesus. They left everything to follow Jesus. Jesus was their everything. And overnight, he was arrested. One abrupt night, he was arrested. And a few hours later, he was tried. And he was given the worst form of punishment, the crucifixion. He died. And he was their everything. And they must have been wondering what was happening. They must have been wondering about what happened to Judas. Why did Judas just betray Jesus? What happened to Peter? Why did he deny Jesus three times? Maybe they were thinking about what they could have done better to prevent this from happening, or all the things that were going on. But on the third day after the crucifixion, when they were scared, they heard the reports from the tomb. These women who are coming from the tomb, they're saying they saw the Jesus is alive. They saw the risen Lord. And as they're discussing, another group comes. The disciples, the two disciples from Emmaus Road, they come. And they come back and they're saying that they have seen the risen Lord. How could they believe this? Dead people don't rise. As they were talking confusedly amongst themselves, Jesus appears and he says, "Peace be with you." And it's not true that people back then, 2,000 years ago, were so gullible that they believed anything. Disciples do not believe their eyes. So Jesus asked them, they think they saw a ghost. And so in verse 39, Jesus says, "Well, look and touch my hands and feet." Why hands and feet? Well, because there are fresh wounds, the bumps that have formed over where the nails were driven in. Jesus is saying, "It's me. I died, but I rose again, and now I'm here with you." He's assuring them. And yet, they still didn't believe. Verse 41, "Do you have anything to eat?" Jesus asked. Why? It wasn't that he was hungry. But he wanted to assure them that he is alive in flesh and bones, that he could eat. Ghosts don't eat, do they? And Jesus wanted to let them know that he was with them. Friends, when we often tell others about Christianity, we start often with our experiences, don't we? We say, "This is what happened to me." And that is good. But at the heart of Christianity, what makes all those experiences possible is the event of the resurrection. It's because Jesus really died and Jesus really rose again. He is alive and he is able to assure us that he is alive. He's able to give us those experiences because he really rose again from the dead. Apostle John knew that, and so he writes in 1 John 1:1, "That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, that we proclaim concerning the word of life." He saw, he heard, and he touched. And he says he staked his life upon that event of death and resurrection of Christ. Friends, because he is alive, he can also assure us now. Because he is alive, he can be with us now and let us know that he is alive. It's okay to have doubts. Many disciples, I mean, even they didn't believe their own eyes. But doubt isn't a badge of honor. Doubt is a cue to go and explore, to find the evidence, to go and seek the evidence, to go down on our knees and ask God to come. Come, Lord, reveal yourself to me. And because he is alive, he will reveal himself to us. Countless people have done exactly the same. Search after the evidence. Go to on their knees and ask God to reveal himself. And God has done that for all of us, hasn't he? How has God assured you of his presence? How is he keeping on doing that? How has he spoken to you? Sometimes he assures us through answered prayers. There are coincidences, but they do seem to happen more to those who pray. Many who keep prayer journals. Talk about how amazing it is that God has fulfilled all these prayers over the years. Sometimes God assures us through the testimonies of his people. We heard a few leading up to Easter. I remember Josephine talking about how there's that peace, sense of peace that comes upon her when she prays. She goes to God. She says she doesn't have to worry about anything because all my security now comes from Christ. Other times, God meets us in our worship. How many times have you come to church anxious with something in your mind and gone out of these doors praising God because God has met you here? God is alive, and sometimes he speaks to us in our lowest moments. Lowest moments when everything seemed to be shut and there's no hope whatsoever and you're just crying. Sometimes people hear God speaking to them. It's happened to my wife Mary. It's happened to some of you here. Jesus is alive. He's at work still. About a year ago, there was this revival that was widely reported in Asbury College, Kentucky, U.S. Over 2 weeks, more than 50,000 people came over. And the words that were saying to one another was that, you know, there's something here. God is here. That's why they started to come. And those who were there went expecting God to be there. And even as they waited online, if you read the reports, even as they waited in line to go in, they start repenting of their sins. And as they enter in, they sense this presence of God, they said. In our modern era, revival often meant something extraordinary, some miraculous healing or some works that are sort of supernatural. But Asbury revival was different. Let me quote the New York Times article there. Asbury revival is marked by overwhelming sense of peace for a generation marked by anxiety. It's marked by joy for a generation marked by suicidal ideation. It's marked by humility for generations traumatized by the abuse of religious power. And God shows up in the exact way that people need God for God to show up and says, I am here. I am here alive. Come to me. I will give you peace. Our risen Lord assured his disciples, and he's assuring us now in Asbury as well as in Sha Tin. But the main way he assures us is through the scriptures, through the words of the Bible. I mean, last week, wasn't it striking? Wasn't it striking how Jesus comes alongside of the disciples? You know, he's risen. He's defeated death. And these two disciples, as they're walking along the road, he doesn't just go, well, it's me. You know what he does? He opens up the scriptures. Instead of saying, I'm here, verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. He does a Bible study with them. They said to each other, were our hearts not burning as he opened up the scripture to us? And when he appeared to the 12, he does exactly the same. Verse 44, everything, he says, must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This is Tanakh, the shorthand for Old Testament, law, prophets, and the Psalms. He opened it up again and says, this is about me. This is how I fulfill the law and the prophets and the Psalms. I mean, what an astonishing thing to say. You know, if I said the Bible is about me, you'd think I'm crazy. But that's exactly what Jesus says. This points to me. I am the fulfillment of it. Friends, Jesus does two Bible studies in these early days with the disciples because the Bible is where we can still meet him. The Bible is the place where we can still go and hear God speaking to each of us. That is what Jesus is saying there. The Old Testament stories point to him. And that's why we read it. Luther wrote that the Bible is this cradle wherein Christ is laid. The whole of Scripture points to Christ. And not only that, we can meet Christ through these words. That's why we read it, not for just for information, but about him, who he is, what he's doing. And as we read it, we meet the living Lord. Our hearts still burn within us as we open up the scriptures. You might ask, though, if it was so obvious that the Old Testament points to Jesus, why isn't it that Jewish people back then recognized this right away? Or Jewish people still don't recognize this right away? Well, I think the analogy that I would use is, have you seen a movie? Have you watched a movie where the ending is so shocking? But ending is sort of changes everything about how you watch the beginning of the movie. The Usual Suspect is... its ending goes on as one of the most shocking endings in the movie history. The ending is very shocking, but once you know the ending, you can't miss what happened earlier. But just by what happened earlier, you don't get to the ending. But when you have the ending, the whole thing makes sense. The Old Testament is a bit like that. It wasn't at first obvious how this was going to point to Jesus, how the salvation would be accomplished through a Messiah that suffers and dies and rises again. It wasn't that obvious that the message of the gospel, the good news, would go from Jerusalem to the all of the earth. But it's all there in the Old Testament. Now we know Jesus. Now we know Christ and what he has done. We can look back and see, oh, wow, everything does point to Christ. And that's my experience again and again. It's impossible to miss Christ as we read the Old Testament because all of that is about Christ. All of New Testament is about Christ. And our hearts still burn as we read it. Church, if you want peace like a river, if you want to face death with confidence, if you want to be empowered to go and share the good news of Jesus to the ends of the world, go to Christ, revealed in the scriptures. Go to him humbly as you read these words and ask the Spirit to reveal himself to you. Read it on your own. Read it with others. Do it in one-to-one. Join a small group. God is alive. He will assure us through his words. And as we meet the risen Lord, as they met the risen Lord, they were assured of the scriptures, how he pointed to Christ and how they met Christ through those words. The disciples, their lives were changed. In the beginning of the story, they were hiding from the authorities. They were scared for their lives. By the end, they become public worshipers of Jesus. This is how the passage ends. Verse 52, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually at the temple, praising God. From guilt, fear, shame, sadness, to public joy, worship, and praises. And that's not a small thing. Remember, once again, just a few days before, Jesus died because he claimed to be God. And now they're worshiping Jesus as their God. It's not so obvious in our text, but in John 20, it is very obvious. When Jesus shows up and says, this is my hands and this is my feet, touch it. And Thomas bows down. He cries out, my Lord and my God. You know, that the people worship Jesus as their Lord and God is not some invention that came down centuries later. Immediately, a few days after the resurrection, they started worshiping Jesus as their Lord and their God. And they were transformed because of it. They risked their lives by worshiping Jesus publicly. But the word worship here, right, doesn't just mean praising or singing and praying or participating in the public worship. Worshiping Jesus as their Lord means living their lives according to it, living in the ways of Jesus. And so they took the ethics of Jesus. Instead of pride, humility became the thing that they valued. They started to care for the weakest members. They treated everyone as God made in God's image. Slave and masters, even from the very beginning, mingled together in the same church, calling each other brothers and sisters in Christ. It revolutionized in time the world. And as Jesus said in verse 47, they became Christ's witnesses to the ends of the world. disciples were witnesses in a particular way. We're not witnesses in the same way, but we are still commissioned in the same way to go out to the ends of the world, to bear witness to the Christ that we have met. And the disciples had to wait for fulfillment of verse 49, for this power to come down from on high. That's a reference to the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But since Acts chapter 2, every Christian has received the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is empowered by the Holy Spirit. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, when you believed, you were marked with him, with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you believe, you're marked by the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go to Toys R Us and then you buy some toy, some toy boxes will say batteries not included, right? Some toys are like that. It's not like that with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to all Christians who know and confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All Christians are marked by the Holy Spirit when we believe. So every Christian comes with battery included, with the power to share the good news of Jesus, to bring this news to the ends of the world. This is one of the reasons for the Spirit's coming, to empower us to go out into the world. So church, let me ask, are you participating in the movement of the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the ends of the world? How are you doing that? How are you doing that in your family, amongst your network of friends, in your workplace, to your neighbors? It starts with prayers. Would you start praying? Praying for your colleagues, praying for the people around you. You know, a long time ago, I prayed, in high school, I prayed for God to make me an evangelist because I was terrible at doing evangelism. I was very convicted that I should pray about this. And I prayed every day for me to become an evangelist. I didn't see the prayer answered right away. But when I was working in London, many years later, as an international student worker in a church, I remember thinking, oh my, all I'm doing is evangelism. Every day I was doing evangelism. And I remember, oh, this is God's answer to prayer. He has made me an evangelist, which is precisely what I asked for. Friends, God answers prayers. Start praying for your colleagues, for your neighbors, for the people around you. God will answer your prayers. Ask God to give you the opportunities and watch out for the opportunities that He gives you. Or maybe this Alpha course that's starting, who can you bring? Maybe you can ask somebody all it takes is to ask someone. They can say no, that's okay though. Perhaps you can start in your workplace. Maybe you can start Alpha in your workplace or reading the Bible. Just open up the Bible, Gospel of Mark, and just read it with somebody who is exploring. St. Andrew's vicar, St. Alex says, if you are a Christian in your workplace and there's no other, you're the most important person in that workplace because you have a message that can change everybody's life because we have the greatest news that the world needs. What other message can bring peace? Peace in this troubled world. What other message can wipe away guilt? Wash away guilt. What other message can transform death from being the worst possible thing in this world to possibly the best thing that someone can face? What other message can bring people into adoption, into the family of Christ, and into the church, as imperfect as it is? This is still the place where God is at work. What other message can empower you but to break free from sin? Guarantee that you will receive new bodies, bodies that will not be stained with death and diseases and sickness, that will be perfect as it was meant to be. Only this message of Jesus crucified, risen again, that in Him is forgiveness of sins. Friends, we can be sure that Christ died and rose again. We can be sure that Christ still speaks through His word. So let's bring the worship of our Lord, our risen Lord, to the world. Let's share the peace with others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have defeated death. Lord, even as the world worships the things of this world, dumb idols, Lord, we thank you that you are God who is alive and active. And Lord, we pray even now that you would assure us that you are alive and active, that your spirit will burn in our hearts as we hear these words. And Lord, we pray that you will make us assured worshipers in our home, in our workplace, in everywhere we go. And may we bring the peace of our Lord Jesus to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.